Okay, I think I'll start. Welcome, a very, very warm welcome to this Google Hangout with me, Lena. I'm a singer, songwriter, coach, and the initiator of the Creative Changemakers event happening in Budapest this October. And today, I have a very special guest with me. He's a leading expert when it comes to money, personal finance, and how to create a blog that people want to read, and how to create a base of raving fans. And he just happens to be an awesome guy as well. So I say, welcome to Michael, or dzień dobry, as they say in Poland.
Dzień dobry, Lina. Hi, Lina.
Dzień dobry.
Awesome to be here. Hi, everyone watching.
And I'm sorry, just a little snag over here. Just going to shut that down. Now I'm back. Okay, so before we begin, and before you and I start talking, I need to mention that if you're watching this live, we have a little bit of a 30-second delay. That's the snag I had over here. I started hearing myself. And so you need to be aware that if you want to send in questions for Michael, which you can do through Twitter, then be aware of the fact we won't see it until like a minute later. So you know that right now. And if you want to send a question, the easiest way to do that is to use Twitter, and we have our own hashtag because we're very, very modern. So it's hashtag CCBudapest, Creative Changemakers in Budapest, hence the hashtag. So I'll say it again, hashtag is hashtag CCBudapest.
Super. Yeah, I have already.
So now we'll start.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael. Let's begin from the beginning, because I think that is the easiest way to do anything. And I mean, I know you, and I know the amazing things you created. But and I also know that a lot of people watching this right now are from Poland, and they definitely know who you are. But a lot of people might not know. So if we begin with, how did you start your blog? What's the story behind it, and how did it happen? What was the decision behind it?
Yeah. Actually, it was an idea that really has grown in my mind over the years. I was thinking about what I can really do, or how can I really do something important and significant and impact in a remarkable way the lives of other people. So, you know, you work in the 9-to-5 job and you think, okay, I'm doing my daily work, I'm doing my evening work, and then you realize that after years, it is really not so important as you thought at the beginning. I mean, I was the business development director in an IT company, so we developed a lot of IT projects and we've done really great stuff. But from the other side, I was missing something. I knew I can expect more from myself and also do really some good stuff for other people. So actually, I was pretty good at the personal finance and money saving space. And I decided that thanks to my friends who also made me share my knowledge in one way or the other, I decided, okay, maybe a blog is a good way of sharing my knowledge. And yeah, this is basically how it begins. Actually, I'm blogging right now for 2 years, more than 2 years, and I can say I'm pretty successful. My blog already has roughly about 150,000 unique users monthly. Sometimes it's more, sometimes the number is lower. But I have a great following. I have over 25,000 Facebook fans, and I also have more than 20,000 people registered for my newsletter. So it's pretty awesome, and the traffic is growing like crazy right now. So I'm here just to share my all the way and my experiences during the way. So basically, we can. I'm really happy to share this knowledge, because I know that many people are really, really struggling with growing their blog and growing their presence in the internet. So hopefully I will have some tips for them.
I think you will. I'm sure of it, actually. And one thing that strikes me about you is really how it seems like you use honesty in a way to really grow your fan base. So you're very open and you share very openly about your successes and how that happened, especially when it comes to money. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How you've created like this very authentic content and how that seems to draw people in?
I think it's a kind of a chicken and egg problem. You know, you don't know what to start with and where you should start. So at the beginning, it was really me and just me, no readers at all. And I was thinking, okay, what I could do to other people that will be really, really attractive to them and that would make them somehow get back to me. So I was really about, in the first 6 months of my blogging, I was really, really focusing on making sure that I'm publishing on schedule. So basically, I said to myself, okay, I have to be systematic. I have to be, every week I have to publish at least 2 articles. And so 8 posts per month. And then I said to myself, okay, it has to be a quality blogging. Because if I would like to impact someone's lives, they have to benefit from my blogging. And that was my focus. So basically what I focused on was delivering a great content and doing it in a very systematic way. So that was the beginning. And then, of course, I wanted to grow the traffic. I wanted to grow my audience just to make sure that basically my work is not wasted. So if I put a lot of effort into creating an epic post, basically, then I really would like to reach as many people as possible. And what I realized, and this is a struggle with, as I'm talking to many bloggers here in Poland, and I see they struggle with content creation, but they only focus on the content creation. They really forget about the content marketing. And I think that we as the bloggers definitely have to focus on both. Actually, from my experience, it's only about 40% is a content creation and 60% of the time is the content marketing. So making sure that those epic posts really, really reach the people which are there on the internet.
Yeah, and that's big. So how do you do that? How do you reach? No, but I know this was a question sort of I thought we would go into later, but I think it's time to go there. And that is, I mean, if you're a person, especially maybe not just starting out, but if you're a person, you feel like you've done everything. You feel like you're frustrated because you feel like, oh, I am writing. Yeah. And I do have a schedule. And I do marketing. And the truth is maybe they're not really doing the marketing, but what would be your advice? And I know that's very specific, but in general, to somebody who's frustrated and in that beginning stage.
Okay, so I will start with content creation because this is the basic of everything. And I think that the problem that people are, the main problem that people are facing is that they create the content for themselves. And I would rather suggest creating the content for other people. So how do you know how to write for other people if you don't know them? That's the basic question. So you have to create, I call it reader avatar. That's the common term for it. So you just try to imagine who would be reading the specific post you are writing. If it's a woman or if it's a man. If she or he is 60 years old or just 20 years old. So based on that, you can imagine what kind of problems they may be facing. So I'm in the personal finance space. So if you think about the problems people are facing in this space, you can think of, okay, there are students who don't have any money and are just struggling with finding a cheap flat they can rent. That's the, for example, one target group, okay? And there can be people who are well-established, you can say. They have a lot of money, and their main problem is how to make their money work for them. So basically, so you can have different target groups. So first of all, focus on your reader. Try to create the reader persona, reader avatar, and just write the specific article for specific type of person. And the second tip is definitely don't try to please everyone, because if you are focusing on this targeting specific group of people, then it's obvious you won't please everyone. You have to just write for the specific people one post, and then probably in the next week you will write for different people, different kind of people. So with different requirements and problems and so on and challenges, yeah. And you are there to help them overcome the problems, or maybe realize they have a problem, but show to them how they can really overcome it, or just ease their pain, okay? So you have to find the pain and just ease the pain or solve the pain. And that's my really secret formula for creating good content, quality content. And then when you have created the content, you of course have to think about how to market it, how to deliver it, how to promote it. And I'm really big fan of Pat Flynn, and Pat Flynn is an American blogger who blogs at smartpassiveincome.com, and he created something like Be Everywhere strategy. So he says, okay, there are different communication channels. Our blog is our home base. So one recommended read here, Michael Hyatt, michaelhyatt.com. He has published a book called The Platform, How to Get Noticed in a Noisy World, something like that. He says that your blog is your platform, but you have the outposts. And there is, of course, Facebook. There are other social media channels like LinkedIn. It really depends on your focus. So it may be LinkedIn. It's definitely a Twitter, yeah. And you also have other channels, like for example podcasts, YouTube channel for communication, yeah. Video communication, you can say. I call it video communication. And of course, you can work with old school media, traditional media, like TV, radio shows, newspapers. That's a completely different topic, but we'll definitely cover it during our workshop in Budapest later this year, because I think it's pretty easy to get to the mainstream media. Actually, so I know it might sound challenging, but or kind of science fiction, but really it's not so difficult. So it's only how well we are prepared to be reached, and how much efforts do we put to get into the traditional media. Okay, I'm just talking about everything, so if you could really focus or yeah, narrow this discussion.
I will jump in a little bit, because I have a couple of extra questions.
Yeah, sure.
And one thing you said, I love it how you talk about the avatar, mm-hmm. and having a specific person that you write for. And I think one thing that trips a lot of people up, and it did for me, is that you said something about writing different articles for different people.
Mm-hmm.
Where some people would say or think that I'm going to start a blog, it needs to be for this kind of X kind of person all the time. But you would say that you can do variations of that and still grow a blog, right? Am I following
definitely,
correctly?
Definitely,
wow.
Definitely. I think that it's always a question of whether you should write one blog or maybe several blogs on different topics. Of course, that's the decision everyone can take. But I think that it's about delivering the very narrow topics to narrow target groups, and of course, being smart enough to be able to not overload your blog with specific topics in the short period of time. So basically, I'm experimenting. I'm all the time. I'm trying to write a little about money saving, and on the other time about investments. On the other time about the emotional side of blogging, which is really not the topic of my blog. My blog is named Jak oszczędzać pieniądze. So in English it would be how to save money. And it's somehow, of course, the the blog topic somehow limits the scope of the topics I could cover within that. But I also have my podcast, and my podcast is named "Więcej niż oszczędzanie pieniędzy." In English, it's "More than saving money." So basically, I cover different topics in my podcast. I talk about the productivity and so on. And of course, if you think about it, those are completely different target groups. Yeah, but it's also about us growing our audience and helping them to get more interested in various topics. So basically, really, in our life, our way of acting is really a mix of many, many, many topics. So basically, if I'm talking about the money, I could be as well talking about the psychology, and because it's really important in money management or personal finance management. So basically, if I would like to touch the topic of psychology, I also could touch the topic of being well-organized person, making really good use of your life, of your time, and so on and so on. So basically, the biggest what I say to my readers is that, okay, money can come and can go. Yeah, the money is not a problem. The problem is with our time. So the only thing we can't buy in our life is a time. Yeah. So of course, so thinking that in that way, you can try to solve the problems which are in theory far from your blog topic. Okay. But on the other side, people are waiting for this information. If you can build trust, and this is the most important thing probably I could highlight at the beginning. What I'm trying to do is really I'm trying to show myself. I'm not wearing any mask. I'm just showing to the people myself, and I'm trying to earn their trust. Of course, as I said at the beginning, you can't please everyone. So the bigger audience you have, you will probably have also many people who are really not like you, who are not your target, who are really thinking in a different way. And it's normal. You have to accept it. Yeah. It's really happening. So basically, it's all about for me, it's about being a good person, being a generous person, giving what I could give to the external world, and hoping that something or piece of that would come back to me in a good way. Yeah, I'm not talking about the energy stuff, you know, just being the honest person. So I would like to have, and the way I'm thinking about my blogging is, okay, when I'm writing a post, would my father or my mother aunt or my grandfather be proud of me doing that? I mean, will they be happy that I have written the words I have written? Or maybe they will feel ashamed, or, you know, in some way, they will have a bad feeling about me. So, yeah, that's another way of thinking about creating the reader avatar. If my grandfather would be happy that would be thinking that I've done a good work, then I will be satisfied, and probably my readers also would be satisfied. So yeah, it's it's just about creating the quality content. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and getting back to the marketing.
Oh, here's a quick question, but how much time do you put into creating good content when you write one article? How much time does that take?
You can say I'm not a typical blogger, because it is said on the internet that a typical blog post is roughly about 500 to 1,000 words. Yeah. If you will look at my blog, some of my articles have over 40,000 characters. So basically, it's a 5,000 or 7,000 word article, and they are pretty long. And but what I realized, thanks to the length of the articles, I'm attracting the people who are really interested in reading the long content and reading the topic from A to Z, not just part of it. So it really also creates the good conditions for quality discussions. So I have pretty active community, a lot of comments, and I'm really benefiting from those discussions. And I will just make one more advertisement for our Budapest workshop. We'll definitely talk about content creation. So because it's also about leaving a place for the discussion. So basically, when I'm creating a new content, I'm trying not to cover everything, because if you just cover everything on the specific topic, then you will have no discussion at all, because everyone will be satisfied. There will be nothing to add or nothing to confront with. Yeah, everything will be given in the article. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to stimulate the discussion. So as a blogger, I'm not the objective person. That's only my point of view. I'm trying to share all the details to allow my readers to think about it, about the content by themselves. And I hope it will stimulate them to discuss the topic. Yeah.
Wow, that's really useful. I mean, I never really thought of it that way before, that you leave space for the conversation to happen, and leave space for questions to come up. And because I think that is very easy to do, that you want to sort of finish your article, you want to be fully covering everything, but then you sort of shut down the conversation. That's really good. It's really good advice. And you said something about putting 60%, right, into marketing and 40% into content creation. So when you start with the marketing, and there's a lot of places you can market on the web, how did you start, and where did you see traction? Where did you see things happening when people started to take notice? What was the, did you focus on one media or two media, or was it a specific article that just made it take off, or what was your experience?
I would say it's really difficult to plan for success. I mean, I'm somehow trying to catch the wave. So like a surfer, you know, I'm waiting for a good wave, and when I'm getting on my board, then I'm just trying to keep the on the wave as long as possible. And thinking about, I would say the if you would like to do a good marketing, you have to first analyze. So you have to look at your statistics, blog statistics, Google Analytics, Clicky, whatever you use, and just try to find where are your readers coming from. Because maybe you think that it's good to put a lot of efforts into the social media, like Facebook and Twitter, but then you suddenly may realize that only 5% of the people are really coming from those social media. And I'm not telling that the social medias are not good for marketing. I'm fan of Facebook because it creates great exposure. But from the other side, you have to be very, very realistic about what's working and what's not working for you. And when I look at my statistics, I can tell you the biggest source of traffic is, of course, Google. It's the effect of the way I do the content. So I write a long post, so, and they get a lot of comments, so they are being perceived as a valuable content by Google crawl mechanisms, yeah? And then, suddenly, I'm very high in the Google results, and I get a lot of traffic from Google. It works automatically. But on the other side, the second most important source of traffic for me is my newsletter. And what I would like to stress here is that people who are not using email as a communication with their reader base are really, really missing a lot of traffic. And I personally think, and it's not about thinking, but I see the results. It's a snowball effect. The more people you have on your newsletter, the more traffic you will get as soon as you send this newsletter informing about the new article being published on your blog. Actually, when I send a newsletter right now, as I said, I have 20,000 people on my newsletter list right now. So when I send a newsletter, I got several thousand people clicking on the link in the email and immediately getting onto my blog. When I publish the status update with information with the link to my article on the Facebook, when I have 25,000 fans, then there is roughly about 500 to max 2,000 clicks from Facebook. Of course, people see the status update, but it's not reaching the 25,000 fans. Yeah, there is edge rank protocol mechanism on the Facebook. So basically, they limit the scope of the reach of my updates. So what I would really suggest is trying to build a newsletter and including the sign up form on the blog. I actually have on my blog free sign ups forms. Yeah, and you can say there is a lot of them on the main page. But in my tests, I have found out that each of those signups forms collects new email addresses. So basically, it works. It works. And the one mistake I have done, you can say, is I was trying to convince people that it's good to sign for my email list because they will get update every time I publish a new article. And it was working. However, during the first 12 months of blogging, I collected just 1,000 email addresses. And what I did after 12 months of blogging, I said, okay, I will give you a bonus just for a sign up for my list. Okay? And this bonus was a set of spreadsheet calculators, Excel calculators, helping in your money management, you can say. Yeah? And then suddenly, I realized that 2,000 of people registered in the next month. So basically, it's I can say it increased the sign up rate 10 times. Yeah, and it really the concept for giving something for in the exchange for email address is called the lead magnet. So we create the lead magnet, something that will be so attractive that the people would like to leave their email address. And depending on the topic of your blog, it can be just a PDF file with some kind of how-to guide about the, for example, what do you blog about, Lina?
What I blog about?
Yeah.
Well, I blog mainly about, right now, it's mostly about Budapest, but otherwise about, well,
okay, wait. Let's stick with Budapest. So,
Budapest. Take that as an example.
So,
yeah.
What you could give to your readers is a 10 tips guide, 10 tips about things you should know when you plan to visit Budapest. Yeah, and they will. There are probably, of course, it won't target everyone, but there are people who would like to get free 10 tips if you name it in a very attractive way. So we say, okay, free tips from a foreigner, Swedish girl who visited the Budapest for several times, yeah? And so, or 10 good places in Budapest when you can party all night, yeah? Then probably there will be some people that will be registering just to get this document.
And Michael, how did you choose? How did you choose what to do for that first lead magnet? Did you base it on the people who were already reading it? Like, do they have questions?
Yeah. What I found out, I publish in my posts, I sometimes add those Excel calculators as the separate files. For example, when I'm writing an article about the mortgage or getting out of debts, I include the spreadsheet file when people can just enter their debts and decide which one of them should be paid in the first order. Yeah, so I just have taken the Excel files I already had. It was more than 20 of them during the first year of blogging. I packed them into one zip file and I said, okay, if you'd like to get those Excel calculators, yeah, 23 or something like that, then just leave your email address on my blog. And in bonus, you will get also the notification about every article I publish. So it's working like crazy. Just last week, I had over 800 people registered because there was a spike in traffic due to... I'm publishing my monthly financial report, so everyone can see how much money I spend and how much money I earn. And I earn a lot of money right now. So those articles are very, very popular. And you can say... currently, I have a 3% conversion rate. So just to explain it, if there are 1,000 people coming to my blog on a specific day, 1,000 new visitors, you can say, then 30 of them register for my newsletter. If there is 10,000 people coming, then 300 of them register for my newsletter. It's I would say it's a pretty stable number, just between 2.5% and 3% conversion rate. So if I get a lot of traffic on the specific day, because I don't know, big portals, big websites have linked to my blog, then of course I have a lot of signups, and this is what happened. In this week actually, in this week. So, yeah, on Monday. So basically, since Monday, I have something like 600 signups, 800 signups in the last week. So basically,
that's impressive.
Yeah. So the tip from my side is okay. Be prepared. Be prepared for such events. So you don't know as a blogger when someone who is a lot bigger than you will link to your blog or your post. So if it happens, be ready for it. So if there's a lot of traffic coming to your site, then be ready to accept those email addresses. Yeah. So I just focus on the email right now, but of course you can do social media marketing, and you can do it in different ways. You can just look for exposure. So you just publish nice pictures and nice statements, the status updates that are really that don't include the link to your blog even. So basically, it's about helping your community get something interesting for them. Yeah. So yeah. You might even share the links to other blogs or services or interesting articles you have found out. Why? Because this is the way you build the trust, and this is the way you build your authority, your perception in the eyes of the other people. So, yeah.
We got a question on Twitter, actually.
Yeah.
And the question was actually, we kind of covered it, you covered it, how do you acquire email addresses for your newsletter? Mm-hmm. And I think you sort of covered it, but I got one question myself, and that is, if you meet somebody and they think, well, Michael, I put on something, I have a PDF, and nobody's still opting in. So what is the problem then, you think? What would be your first advice? Would that be to sort of ask the readers that this person already has, or tweak it?
Okay.
How do you know it's a good opt-in or a good lead magnet?
I will tell you what I did in the first months of blogging, and I actually think that this concept is very, very good. I rarely use it now, but I ask my readers for opinion. So there are several ways you can do it, but for example, I knew I would like to publish articles on 10 topics in the next 2 months, okay? What I did, I asked my readers, okay, here is the list of topics I would like to publish, and please tell me which ones of them are the most important to you. Just pick three, yeah? And I allowed people to just include those in the comments. What has it done? Of course, I could do a survey. I could go to SurveyMonkey or Google Docs and prepare a survey. But the problem with the surveys is that no one else, I mean, if someone just fills the survey, you get the results. Yeah, I would get the results. But the problem is other people won't see that there was an interaction, that's the first point, and other people won't see what was the choice of other people. And what I allowed was, okay, I said, okay, just put your preferences into comments on my blog. And then suddenly I had a post where there was 200 comments and people fighting with each other which topic is the most important. Okay, for me it was a lot of work just to summarize it, because I had to read every comment, just count it, and for the preparation of the final list. But from the if you look at it from the marketing point of view, it was a great move, because you showed that you have active reader base. Okay, the people have seen that other people are making their choices, so they were also stimulated to make their own choice. Okay, and for me also it was a great way of building the authority. And what I did, I just prepared the list with the final results, and I said, okay, I will go by the list. So I published the most demanded article in the first order. And of course, what it does, people are happy, readers are happy that you listen to them. Mm. So you can ask people in different ways. You can even do it publicly, but you have to be willing to accept the results. They might not be... it might not be your preference or your order, preferred order, yeah? But you have to accept it. You have to be open. And it just gives great, great results. And of course, if you have created epic content and would like to get it shared because you know its value, yeah? You are authority in your field. Definitely you are. So if you know its value, then ask people for sharing. Yeah, and I have really no problem with it. And I, of course, at the beginning, it was challenging because, of course, we as the bloggers have a huge ego, and we know that okay, we are the best. We can choose the best topics and so on and so on. But it is really, if you are trying to build a good following, then it's not about you as the blogger, it's about your readers and the way you are reacting to their demands. And if your readers will see that you are responsive, then they will come to you and they will send you a lot of emails and with suggestions for the next topics and so on. So that's the way the interaction really begins. And I think that of course, there is a problem, you have no followers at all, then fight for them. Just get 10 of them, just get your friends on board, just get your Facebook fans or friends on board. I mean, I really do believe that you only need 10 people who would be willing to answer your emails, and then you can write for those 10 people, and then you suddenly realize they... for example, you know, I will give you another example. I'm trying to get to know my readers, and I have a secret mission, which is going since day one of my blogging, that I will pick a random people who have registered for my newsletter. So I have 20,000 of them right now, and I send to one of them, really randomly pick, I send the email. I do it weekly, and I send to 10 people, and typically half of them respond. And I ask them, okay, you have signed up for my newsletter on this specific day, and I knew you are following my blog. I would like to know more about you. You already know almost everything about me because I'm sharing everything on my blog, but I don't know anything about you. I just know your name and your email address, so please tell me. Who are you?
Ooh, and what kind of response do you usually get?
Roughly about 50%. So out of 10 people I send the emails to, 5 of them respond. And those 5 are really, really thankful that I have reached to them. And they tell me, okay, I'm a woman, I'm divorced, yeah, I have 2 children, and so on and so on and so on. And it goes, then you just exchange the emails and you really realize those are who your readers really are. And then there is one specific question I asked in those emails is, okay, can you tell me, if you could have just one question to me and you think that I could help you with something, what would it be? Yeah, just tell me. And then some of them write the question and I ask them, okay, can I publish it on my blog? And I do a little Q&A. So from time to time, I do it publicly. I mean, I answer those questions publicly. Those are the Q&A articles. Of course, they're great for building trust, really, because you are responding to the real problems people have. Yeah?
Yeah.
For you, let's say you are blogging about Budapest recently. Yeah? Someone might ask you, okay, you had this great PDF on the parking places. Yeah, but I would like to really eat a good food in Budapest. What do you suggest? Yeah, and then you can say, okay, of course, I've just been in a few places, but definitely my number one choice is blah blah blah. So this is how and of course you publish this article. It's visible on the internet, and every other reader that is coming to your blog, even in the next 2 years, they will see that you are responsive, you are helpful, you are generous, you are doing it for free. It's just awesome, you know. That's the kind of stuff, really. There is this sentence that you are the average of the five people that. That you are surrounded with, yeah. And I really would like to surround myself with people who are better than me. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to find those people, and I'm trying to find those people also among the readers, yeah. And I'm finding them. So if when I'm going to, I'm also organizing the offline meetings. So you can say, okay, we are bloggers, we don't see with our readers, yeah, but why not from time to time organize the offline meeting? I had a few of them. I would like to have more of them, and in different cities in Poland, and the kind of connections that I'm making with those people who are able to meet me in person are really, really great, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was thinking, you know, I live in a country that's kind of small. It's a big country size-wise, but we're only 9 million people. I think it used to be 8, but I think the official number is 9. How many are you in Poland now?
38 million.
Whoa, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, because Polish and Swedish being a much smaller language, but still our languages are very, you know, specific to that particular region. I mean, Poland, it's Poland. It's Polish.
Definitely.
Nobody else is going to understand it. And I've heard that Polish is supposed to be the hardest language to learn in all of Europe. I'm not sure, but I've heard. But I was thinking, do you think it was a smart move to go and just focus on Poland? Or do you sometimes feel you should have done it in English? Or do you think
that's
focusing on that kind of niche is a good thing?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Lina. I would say you have to just be realistic about what are you going to do. So, and you have to be realistic about what your competitive advantage is and what's your real competition. Who are you facing? Yeah. So, if I would like to blog on personal finance on a worldwide scale, I mean, go English, then I would be competing with all the personal finance bloggers out there. Of course, the audience is huge, but the competition is also way bigger than in Poland. That's the point one. The second point is, as you can hear, my English language is far, far from perfect. So I'm just realistic about my English abilities. Yeah. And another thing is that I'm just finding the good words. Just give me a sec. Another thing is, okay, I know the local stuff, and I know the local regulations or local problems, local dilemma. I'm Polish, and I know Polish people. I know what are we struggling with. What is the challenge? I've been there myself. Yeah. So I can relate to it. I can just share my experience and be able and just get people to resonate with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I can do it, for example, with someone with a reader from US. Yeah. Probably we have different kinds of problems. Yeah. On the emotional level, probably we can relate to each other very good. But getting back to the details, and I'm very, very detailed and very specific, you know?
Yeah.
Then you realize it's a completely different problems. Mm. Yeah. So
but I love it. First and foremost, you have a very nice English.
Oh, thank you.
Very
thank you.
Nice.
Thank you, Lina. You are so great.
Yeah, you were going to say something. Sorry.
Yeah, so we have liters, they have gallons, you know, and so on and so on. We have kilograms, they have pounds, and it's different word from my perspective. But and also looking about my competitive advantages, of course I have competitive advantages. You can say I have unfair advantage because I know Polish. Yeah, I know Polish language. So basically, I can write for Polish people, and no one from abroad probably will compete with me. So I'm meeting my competition. And so getting back to the question, yeah, I think that market is huge, 38 million people. Every one of them has a wallet in their pocket or in a...
That's fair to say. Another thing I thought about with Poland, I don't know how it is in Poland, but I know in Sweden, the things we're doing right now, still, even though Sweden is a very progressive country when it comes to the internet, when it comes to tech, the things we're doing right now still feel kind of new here. It feels like most of my friends would not be watching this unless I badgered them to do it. And how was it in Poland when you started? Was blogging big? In Poland, when you began? Or?
I think it was big. I think it was very big. And actually, the Polish blogosphere is really huge. With you can say, I don't know what the number of blogs, but if you look at the main contest for bloggers, which is Blog of the Year organized by Onet, there is roughly about 3,000 blogs attending. So every year, so in the record year it was 9,000 or something like that. I don't know. I can't recall the specific numbers, but the number is huge anyway. So we have a lot of great blogs, and I don't know what's the reason, but I think
amazing,
that's good.
Amazing. Another thing that I thought about before when we talked about different channels and different channels to sort of reach out, we talked about Facebook, we talked about Google. And I was thinking, how much have you used SEO, to say it in the right way, SEO, and like with keywords and meta descriptions or whatever the language is for it? How much have you done that, and how much have it been sort of organically happened by itself?
That's about the content creation still. I mean, you have to be aware that your content will be somehow consumed by search engines. And of course, what I'm doing is I'm doing the keyword research. Actually, right now, I'm really skipping it because I has grown to the level that my content is really high in the rankings, in Google rankings. But at the beginning, I was very, very specific about that and trying to look for the best words. So when I was writing about mortgages, yeah, I use the specific words in my articles. I also focus on giving the articles the specific titles. I also focus on what's in the subtitles, what words are being used there. So basically, I'm doing SEO work, but it's not about the dirty tactics or positioning or something like that. It's more about what keywords should be used in the article, thinking from the reader's perspective. So what I'm thinking about is, okay, what kind of questions people will type in Google to get to this article? So just to give you an example, I will take a quick look at my blog, and I will tell you one of the topics, because the titles are the best example of it. So, for example, 100 money-saving tips, which allows you to save 200 zloty per month, for example. Yeah. So that's kind of stuff. So probably my readers or people just people, not my readers are typing something like how to save 1,000 zloty or 100 zloty. yeah, and they would like to get these suggestions. And my article pops out probably on the first page in Google. That's how we do it. So, or the another topic is how to invest small amounts of money. Yeah, that's, you can say that's kind of question that people are typing to Google. So yes, SEO is really, really important.
I love that. I love, because I never really heard about it. I mean, people have taught me about keywords, but I've never really heard anybody phrase it like you do. Imagine the questions that people actually would be typing in and then phrasing your article in that way. That's a really good tip.
Exactly.
It's a really good tip. And strangely enough, this hour went like super quick, so we only have 10 minutes left. Crazy. I know, but it was fun. It's still fun. So let's review a little bit. What would, if somebody's starting out today, or they're in a phase that is sort of like starting out or struggling, the top four tips in what order?
Mm-hmm.
So starting with content creation.
Yeah, I would say, right? I would say the one and the most important. The content creation is obvious stuff. I mean, everyone is doing it one way or the other. So regardless of that, I would say build your email list. That's the tip one. And of course, the second is prepare your lead magnet, whatever it will be. Yeah, just something you can give to readers. The third tip, definitely, I would say, be patient. Be patient, be honest, be generous, be willing to give, but be patient. That's blogging is not, or getting the results I'm getting right now, is not definitely not the overnight success. So you have to be willing to provide the best customer service, you can say, the best customer service to your readers throughout the months. And then after the months or even years, you will get the results. But of course, it's the topic of our call today is about building the following or in, being able to do it quickly. So basically the email, the lead magnet, and being open. I'm just recapping what I said.
Yeah.
don't trying to please everyone.
Yeah, that's very good.
And, I would say be prepared to for the best that might happen. And I will extend that. I said that, okay, when the success strikes you, I mean someone links to you and so on, be ready, be prepared for it. Mm. What does it mean? There might be someone from the TV or radio or newspaper, the journalist, who will be willing to contact you, to ask you a question. You just have to be prepared. So you have to have your short bio prepared. Who are you? What do you do? What your biggest success so far is? Yeah. Being able to deliver the elevator pitch, as they say. So describe in few words what's your blog is all about.
Mm.
Yeah. Just.
I also love how you say about, you know, preparing for success, because I think when you don't prepare for it, then you're actually preparing for failure, because you're thinking, this is never going to happen. But if you have that in place, then you're ready for it.
I not fully agree. I mean, it's not about preparing for failure. I mean, it's about missing the opportunities that may come over. I mean,
yeah, that's a good way to phrase it, yeah. Let me say, I'm just, my thought is more like, I think a lot of people, myself included, have a tendency to sort of, we don't think about what will happen when that kind of success comes, because that feels kind of out of reach. You know what I mean? It's so far away. But as you say, when it actually happens, you need to be ready for it so you can take that opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really, I haven't planned for media coverage at all. I mean, it's happening. I mean, there was one call last year that started. I mean, that started the thing, I would say. Yeah. Mm. So someone from TV has called me, and I picked the phone up just after one ring and just gave a straight answer. And they said, they called once again, and they said, okay, maybe you would like to come to us. And the answer was?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah. And this is the, of course, yes, why not? That's the answer. But the second thing that you have to be prepared, it's still being generous, being honest, being willing to help. Yeah. So the next question was, okay, what can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I prepare? Yeah, for to make it remarkable. Yeah.
And even though we don't have much time, I still want to ask this question: is that you're very honest in your blog, and you, I mean, you said it. You talk about what you save and what you make. That is very honest. Not all people would dare to do that. What prompted you, or what makes you not scared of being that honest?
It's not about I'm not scared. I mean, I'm still having my own worries about that, and I don't know what might hit back sometime in the future. Yeah, we'll see. But from the other side, the reason, the rationale behind it was that I'm blogging about the money, about the personal finance. I'm trying to give the money-saving tips, and I'm also sharing my investing experiences. So what I wanted to skip was all those wondering of other people whether I'm the person they should listen to. And I knew, it was based on my experience, I knew that if I would read the other blog and provided by the person who is giving some tips about the money, I really would like to know whether he's a successman or not, whether he's a student who has no money at all but is giving good tips, or whether it's a person that, from my point of view, is trustable. You know, so I've done it I've done a shortcut, and they said, okay, here's my net worth, okay, here are my spendings, and you can, at the beginning I was not disclosing my earnings because I was hired by my employer, so I couldn't disclose it, but sharing my costs, people have seen that, okay, I must be making money, right? So my costs level were quite high, and you can say, okay, there is a huge misunderstanding, because people think that, okay, if there is someone who is giving the money saving tips and he's not living like a cheap man, you know, then is he trustable or not? And I say, okay, it's not about how much money you spend. It's about the difference between the earnings and spendings, mm-hmm. and just being the cash flow positive, having ability to save money every month. Yeah. And of course, it differently looks when you earn, I don't know, $1,000 or when you earn hundreds of thousands of US dollars. Of course, people have different problems then, but still, it's about being money smart, you can say.
I think that is so. I mean, and also, as you said, I mean, the whole being so open and honest will build authority and it will build trust. And yeah. I think the word trust is the vital one. And the crazy thing is, we have 2 minutes left. I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, and I could listen to you for more than this. So crazy how time flies back. But, I mean, you will come to Budapest, and we will hear even more, and we will go deeper. And that is sort of the essence of that. And if anybody wants to learn more about what we're going to do in Budapest, it's a weekend between the 10th and the 12th. Of October, the 10th and the 12th is Friday to Sunday, and we'll be diving deep on creating art that matters in the world, or work, doesn't have to be art, but work that matters in the world, that's creative. And Michael will have a fantastic workshop. We'll go deeper on what we've talked about today.
Definitely.
How to build your following and raving fans, because people need to listen for you to have work that really does matter, and does. Create change. Right. And if you want to find Michael, where can they find you? Especially, I mean, where do Polish people find you to begin with?
Oh, Polish people. I will say a few words to Polish people. Wszystkim osobom, które oglądają ten Google Hangout, bardzo Wam dziękuję, że dołączyliście. Mam nadzieję, że to było dla Was użyteczne. And I will switch to English right now.
So cool.
I would like to thank everyone who was attending this Google Hangout. I hope it was useful for you and that you will be able to just pick at least one thing and implement it in your blogging. There are a lot of other tips I'm really open to share. Where you can find me? You can find me at my blog. It's hard to pronounce in English, but it's jakoszczędzaćpieniądze.pl, and I'm pretty sure that Lina will just include this address in the notes below the video, because we'll have a recording, right, Lina?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I will add all the links to social profiles and website, of course, on this event page. And if you want a recording, and I'm talking to all of you watching, if you want a recording, make sure that you go to www.linasandon.se and sign up, and I will send it to your inbox, just so you know that. So if you want a recording, and we'll have more Google Hangouts actually coming next week, and you'll hear about them as well if you sign up. That's important. And I also want to add thank you, and try to do it in Polish now for all you Polish people. Dziękuję. Was that correct?
Very good. Dziękuję.
Dziękuję. Dziękuję to all of you for watching. Thank you, Michael, from the bottom of my heart for being part of this and being part of the big extravaganza that we're going to do in Budapest. And to end, a little question. I mean, we're doing a workshop event a weekend about creating work that matters in the world. So I was thinking, what are the issues that really fire you up? What are things where you want to create change or be part of something positive in the world?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you.
Okay, I have one dream, and I'm just doing it step by step, person by person. I really would like to be to make or to help all Polish people to be really smart, money smart, and to be able to save money, to be able to live a good and rich life. And I mean rich not from the financial perspective, but being just able to make the free decisions regarding what they would like to do in their life. And I hope that I will be able to inspire people, and that's just my dream. And I really would be very, very happy if I knew that I helped others change the trajectory of their lives. And that's everything. So, yeah.
Cool. I'm sure you do. I know you do already. That's really
Thank
cool. Thank you again for being here
Thank
today.
You very much.
Thank you for being part of Budapest. Is there anything I've forgotten to say? No. We'll keep all the links in this on the event page. Sign up at linasandon.se, and make sure you follow Michael as well. I'm sure Michael wants to answer your questions in Budapest or online, right?
Definitely.
Super, super. Thank you again. I mean, we even went over time with 3 minutes. So thank you for this hour and 3 minutes. Have
thank
a beautiful
bye bye.
Day, Michael. Bye.
Thank you, Lina. Bye-bye.